The last time author and theologian Frank Schaeffer was with us, he had just published his provocative book titled Why I Am an Atheist Who Believes in God. Late last year, a film was released with the title Let Me Be Frank, The Traitorous Turnabout of an Evangelical Heir Apparent. And with the political religious right threatening to exercise a whole new level of influence in the new administration, I'm delighted to welcome him back to State of Belief Radio. Frank, thanks so much for being with us again.
Well, it's my pleasure. And, you know, how time has gone by since we last talked. Who would have imagined that we were going to be talking about Donald Trump and the religious right?
How did the making of this film come about?
Well, you know, I think people think that I made a movie about myself. I did not. A documentary filmmaker approached me saying he would like to make a film about my transition from being a fundamentalist evangelical leader in the 70s and 80s with a father who was an even better known leader to being a progressive person who with very different views today and who writes from that point of view in my books like the one that you mentioned there, Why I'm an Atheist Who Believes in God. So he was just fascinated by this and came and did some filming here at my house for 3 days several years ago, then dipped back into my life a couple of times at various places I was speaking, and then asked me for old videotape footage if I had any, and then transferred it to digital. And one day he showed up and said, okay, we're done. Do you want to take a look at it? And then, of course, it was kind of weird because there I was looking at my life, and I had kind of thought, well, he'll interview me in a couple of things, but I had no way of foreseeing that the movie would go into the depth it does in terms of my own spiritual intellectual journey.
Do you feel that it tells your story in a responsible way?
Yeah, I am very pleased with it. You know, a couple of just personal notes. It was odd for me because a lot of the footage he asked to use, I had never seen since the day I walked out of, say, the Today Studios in the early 80s with an interview on the Today program on NBC, with Jane Pauley interviewing me as a member of the religious right about my objections to why our Christian books weren't getting on the New York Times bestseller list and so forth, the kind of victimology that I talk about now. I was on the other side then. And I got to tell you, it was shocking to see myself in that role. I guess I'd sort of tried to put it behind me. But other than that, yeah, I'm very pleased with the project. I think the only thing that it did not do is really paint a picture of me, and that's not the project's fault, because we're talking about theology. And as a writer, as an artist, my life consists of a lot more than a journey out of the evangelical world. So in the intervening 25 or 30 years, life has moved on and I'm somebody else. On an emotional level that was different, especially in today's political climate, realizing that I played some part in laying the groundwork for the rise of the religious right, the eventual takeover of the Republican Party by religious extremists. You know, we created the religious right. The religious right created things in the Republican Party that led to the burgeoning of talk radio, Fox News, and all the rest of it. You come full circle, the alienation of right-wing religious white American Christians from their government, from their culture, from education, from science, climate denial, all the rest of this begins with us telling people that in the 70s and 80s, that the government is evil, that it has allowed abortion, that it's allowed feminism, it's allowing homosexual behavior, that we have an alternative plan. Don't believe what they're saying. Don't believe what the scientists are saying. Don't believe the facts. Believe our special information. And it's only a jump from that till you're at Breitbart News and fake news and all the rest of it, where you are in a fact-free post-fact, post-science period of history. So, look, you know, to be honest, looking at this, I really felt like someone who had been complicit at an early stage of my life in something that turned out to be just murderous and awful for my country. I helped open the door to this fool George W. Bush through energizing evangelical voters to vote for one of their own. And now with Trump coming in, you know, with my gay friends and my black friends and my Hispanic friends and the Muslims I've sat down with and talked to in cross-cultural and interfaith dialogue, there is no question that when they're looking at me, they're looking at someone who in his 20s, okay, it's 30, 40 years ago, was responsible for laying the groundwork along with my dad and people like Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, and all the rest of them for this cataclysm that is now upon us, where we have a charlatan and a fraud who has talked his way into the presidency and bamboozled a lot of evangelicals into thinking that somehow God has led them to vote for this guy, aside from their racism and reaction and homophobia, but just politically speaking, to see myself in that train of events is really heartbreaking, to be honest. And especially as I look at my five grandchildren, just thinking, what the hell did I do back there?
I worked for the ethics agency of the Southern Baptist Convention, and my job was to encourage people in our denomination to vote, to be interested in political things. Then politics and religion were anathema to each other. And I sometimes sit and think about those days, though. I wish I hadn't done that.
Yes. No, I totally get it. And the thing that I think a lot of folks don't understand is that what really happened, individual issues in politics aside, is you had a whole segment of the population who not only suspected facts and logical argument, but turned against it. And so when you think, for instance, how can you deny the climate science that tells us that global warming is not only happening, but that we're responsible for it, when everyone except a few fringe people, mostly in the pay of think tanks that work for the oil industry, confirm that, from the Chinese Communist Party to us. It's not anything to do with ideology or Western capitalism or Christianity or anything, or for that matter, atheism or anything else. You know, how can these climate deniers do this? And of course, what I try to point out to people today is that what we helped happen was to get them into a frame of mind where they saw themselves as antagonists of our culture. So that, you know, the same mom who kept her kids back and homeschooled her daughter or son to avoid them being taught evolution finds it very easy to deny climate science. And the same person who denies climate science finds it very easy to believe special conspiratorial facts put forward by the oil industry to protect their interests. And the same person who does that finds it easy to believe that you can recondition gay people, because no matter what the science says, you know, they think they can be healed of the gay. And so what you've got is a group of people who, because, if I may be blunt, they are certainty addicts. They do not want to be challenged. And since science and actual facts not only challenge but utterly destroy their positions, their best defense is simply to create an alternative universe where they hold out, for instance, as Donald Trump does, that anything the media says that's bad about him is just liberal propaganda. And they do the same thing with scientific facts on everything from why people are gay to a woman's right to choose, to feminism, to all these other things. They only discuss them in a circular argument on their own terms. Sadly, I understand this well, because we played into that by telling people, look, no matter what science says, you can trust the Bible more than you can trust anything else. You can trust your theology, your church. You have a group of people who are certainty addicts, very dependent on alternative information, which is not fact-based. And so Trump comes along, and it's basically like a guy who's pushing drugs on a block that have never been pushed before, but addicts are already in a frame of mind of receiving this kind of drug, the special information, I'll solve your problems, don't listen to the media. You know, when you're wondering why 81% of white evangelicals voted for this guy, it's very simple. They've been trained like Pavlov's dogs to respond to alternative information and claims that everything you're getting mainstream, say from MIT, Harvard, the New York Times, whatever it might be, is bogus. De facto, bogus, no matter what, because your whole world view is in opposition to a fact-based reality. And I just can't say it enough. I mean, that's the deal.
Well, Frank, we know that many what I call otherwise reasonable Americans who seem intent on underestimating this force in our culture, even believing that the religious right is dead when evidence to the contrary is impossible to overlook. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, one of my thoughts is that people like the New York Times and the mainstream media didn't do their job. I mean, I'll just point it out to you like this. 81% of white evangelicals voted for Trump. Whether Putin twisted the election or not, whatever else the facts were, that Hillary was a bad candidate, none of that counts compared to that 81% of white evangelicals. If you remove that voting block, or you split it, or you even peel off 10% of it, he's not president. And so, you know, people talk about, well, 28% of Hispanics voted for him, and how do you explain that? And 52% of women voted for him. How do you explain that? 81% of white evangelicals voted for this man. So they are important. They've given us basically the biggest thing to happen in our history since Pearl Harbor in terms of just changing the dynamic of everything overnight. Okay, now look at somebody like the New York Times. They have a style section. They have a science section. They have a culture section. They have an art section. They have a food section. They have all kinds of sections. There's detailed coverage every week of society, weddings, and so forth. Where's the religion section? It hasn't been there. Religion has always been treated as like something that, you know, people do privately. It has nothing to do with us. We pretend as if we're in the age of reason and we've moved on from this. We are not. We are in the age of ascendant fundamentalist religion globally. It isn't just the U.S. It's Vladimir Putin's hand-in-glove symbiotic relationship with the hard line of the Russian Orthodox Church and their nationalist czarist aspirations. It is exactly what has happened in all the Arab countries where you have a civil war between moderate Muslims and intolerant Muslims. It's what's happening now in even France, that all of a sudden is in the light of resurgent nationalism and anti-European Union sentiment, suddenly finding roots in a very conservative view of Roman Catholicism, and you have a whole group doing that. When you look at what's going on in India, it isn't just the Christian world or the communist world. You have an insurgency now represented by the Prime Minister of India of a Hindu nationalism that's trying to chase mm-hmm. Christians out and, of course, always had problems with Muslims before. Essentially, what you have is, you know, there's the Enlightenment and there's the Renaissance, and it plays out through history, and you have science, and all the way along, fundamentalist religion per se is unhappy with this. The fact of the matter is, though, we are now at a breaking point where what you might call a reasonable science-based view of life is on a collision course, a fatal collision course globally with resurgent fundamentalism. So whether it is the 81% of white evangelicals who voted for Trump or some little group of ISIS trying to create a caliphate, the reaction to what they regard as godless secularism is the same. And so that's where we're at. And we're just simply looking at our version of it here. Except ours is complicated because we have not only a history with this Christian fundamentalism going back all the way into the slave-owning people, but we've got a current problem where you have a con man who has nothing to do with religion per se himself, who has manipulated these people masterfully by playing on their worst instincts and fears. And so it's even worse in terms of what's happened in the U.S. with Trump's election.
Frank Schaeffer is a best-selling author, an educator, and a theologian whose family roots are deep in activist evangelical Christianity. Frank's story is told in the documentary film, Let Me Be Frank, The Traitorous Turnabout of an Evangelical Heir Apparent. Information is available at letmebefrankmovie.com. Frank, it's always great to talk with you, and despite all the changes facing our nation, it's heartening to know that you continue to be out there thinking and writing and painting and speaking. Thanks for making time to be with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me on. A real pleasure. Thank you.